This is Prop Point on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Brandon Kravitz. Nick Whalen out qualifying for the PGA Tour this weekend here. So it's going to be Brandon and I in the big chairs for the next 2 days. Looking forward to this. We got huge NBA news. We woke up to an NBA trade. We're going to break that down. We'll talk about some NBA futures and player props and play it or pass it. Bringing in the big guns. I got Eric Winaldo joining us today. I am psyched about that. Real, you know, you, Team USA hero joining us in 30 minutes to talk a little about Team USA playing Turkey tonight with the World Cup preview. Can't wait to talk with him. And then we'll break down the baseball slate to finish with our best bets. Welcome to everybody that's listening to us, streaming us on YouTube TV, or if you're listening to us, you can catch us on the Prop Points podcast as well, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, or simulcasting on Sirius XM channel 158. Brandon Kravitz, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. This saves me a trip down the highway, which is where I typically take in prop points. So a little more settled here in the home office. Ready to take in. We've got Major League Baseball today, Travelers Championship, yes. World Cup. We're loaded. And we have NBA news to break down. So glad to be here Indeed. With you. And I hope that Nick is under par today.
Indeed. Let's get you caught up on the Travelers Championship real quick. Last signature series event of the season. Your leader right now, Eric Cole, he's 7 under par through, and he has finished. He has finished the round. He's been a first-round leader a couple times as of late, so interesting to see his name up there again. At 5 under, you got Patrick Cantlay, Brant Snedeker, Ben Griffin, Brian Harman, all at 5 under. Your defending U.S. Open champ, Wyndham Clark, has not teed off yet. Neither has Tommy Fleetwood. Scottie Scheffler is teeing off right about now. He'll be, we'll get some results for him pretty soon. A lot of the big names, a lot of big guns are still out there. Rory McIlroy not playing this event. Got a couple live baseball games. Tampa Bay up 2-0 on Kansas City. Junior Caminero homered in the first inning on that one there. They went with the opener. But Ian Seymour is now in there as their primary reliever. Pittsburgh Pirates. Brandon Lau goes pow, as according to the Pittsburgh Pirates broadcaster, Bruce there. That's how they phrase it. Homer in the bottom of the first, his 19th of the year. Very fine acquisition. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA. As always here, we do a lot of this leading off. We woke up to a huge trade. LaMelo Ball traded to the Timberwolves. The Hornets traded away Ball and Josh Green. Timberwolves got Naz Reid, a 2033 unprotected first-round pick, 3 first-round pick swaps, and 3 second-round picks in this deal. Your reaction, my friend?
I'm still trying to process this, so maybe it's something we can do together. A bizarre package. It's a bizarre pairing for me in Minnesota with LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards. Probably smart of Charlotte to move off of LaMelo off of a year where he flashed some very real substance. They know what he is, yep. And they know they can't really win with him. Them trading him was them admitting that out loud. It's clear that Brandon Miller, Con Knipple, it depends on what analysts you're listening to as far as who they're going to be building their team around. Those are their cornerstone pieces. Kobe White is an unrestricted free agent. They probably look to retain him as their lead guard. So I think they'll probably give him the bag by the time we get to July. Charlotte is a serious operation now. And LaMelo Ball is just not a serious basketball player. Credit to him. I thought he handled the midseason benching very well from Charles Lee. And he did a good job in helping the Hornets turn things around, but he's much too much of a diva for my liking. And it seems like Charlotte agrees with that as well. The Hornets have set themselves up quite nicely, Jeff. They now have the second most first round picks in the NBA behind, I believe, OKC. They have acquired, Memphis could be up there as well. They acquired a $41 million trade exception as well. That's the largest number in the NBA, which allows the Hornets to go shopping for another key piece without having to do yep. that classic salary match in the NBA. So we can get into the Minnesota side of it, but I like what Charlotte did. I'll start with that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. And to that point, news breaking from Shams that White's going to sign a 3-year, $74 million contract to remain with the Hornets. So, they locked him up pretty quickly as far as that goes. And that obviously was in concert. That was always kind of envisioned as part of the plan. Like you said, this is a serious franchise, I think. And yes, they fell short of making the playoffs, got to the play-in. They, you know, we were thinking, okay, well, this is going to, you know, we wanted them. We are trying to manifest them. We being like the 90% of the NBA fans that were kind of sick of Orlando, your Magic here, no offense. But, you know, it was just, you know, I think, you know, that was, I think a lot of people wanted to see Charlotte instead of Orlando in these playoffs. It didn't happen, but it was a good season for Charlotte. It was a very good season. They had a lot of big wins in the regular season against good teams. I mean, big as in margin of victory. They thumped some really good teams along the way. So I like a lot of what they did there. The Minnesota side of things, aside from like, beware of all parking garage exits in Minneapolis right now. I think the other reaction I have is with LaMelo Ball, like, how many games is he going to play? I understand, you know, Ant-Man probably is tired of being double teamed. And that's probably some of the motivations for why they went ahead and did this, but they really turned over their roster. They traded away Julius Randle and a salary dump so they could afford this deal.
That's the bizarre thing about it. And really it all goes back to the Karl Anthony Towns trade. They really screwed up in letting him go. Yep. This is an organization that traded away one of their best players who just recently won a championship as one of the key pieces for a New York Knicks team. They get Julius Randle, they give him away for nothing. And then their answer is a ball dominant guard to pair with Anthony Edwards. It's odd to me. They now have Ayo Dosunmu, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball as this supercharged backcourt. They will not have any trouble scoring, Jeff. The scoring the rock will not be a problem in Minnesota. I can promise you that. I just don't know if anybody else on the team is ever going to see the basketball again, but I guess we shall see. While the rest of the Western Conference is getting bigger, you've got these huge teams. Denver's big. Obviously, San Antonio is big. The Thunder are a generally big team, and you have Minnesota going in the complete opposite direction. The zig while everybody else is zagging. I've seen that done before. I've seen that done in my backyard with the Orlando Magic in the past. It doesn't tend to work. So I'm a little pessimistic for the Minnesota Timberwolves with this move. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch in an NBA 2K video game kind of way, not in a serious playoff contender kind of a way.
Well, yeah, and I get like where they saw what Julius Randle did coming up small and as they get deep into the playoffs, and they're like, okay, we can't win this way. I understand that aspect of it there. I feel like they're buying completely high on LaMelo Ball. You got him the 1 year he stayed relatively healthy, you know, and I have a hard time with that. I also have a hard time with the fact that they don't control their first round pick in five of the next 6 years, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, and six of the next seven. Only 2032 is the only time they control their own first round pick. They either have pick swaps or they've traded away their first round pick. They're setting themselves up for some pain if they don't get the payoff. I understand the need to do something in a conference where Oklahoma City, San Antonio are going to be good forever. Denver still exists. I know they've conquered that Denver mountain, but still, I understand, hey, we got to maybe change this up. I just don't like what they did there. And they got a GM in his last year of his contract too, by the way.
Yeah, it doesn't help. And they just lost one of their key assistant coaches too, to the Portland Trailblazers, who signed, I think, a 6-month contract with Portland. So he'll have to worry about that himself. But the other part of this is that let's not bury the fact that they traded Naz Reid in this as well. That's one of their fan favorite guys. He's somebody that sets the tone in terms of toughness and leadership, and him not being on the team is a net negative for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you replace him with the lack of leadership that LaMelo Ball brings with him. This was a Hail Mary shot, but it was like a Hail Mary shot with no receivers on that side of the field. It just makes no sense to me to empty the load for a player like LaMelo Ball. The clear winner in this deal is the Charlotte Hornets. And now all of a sudden, Jeff, the Eastern Conference is weirdly loaded. I was doing a hierarchy on my show in Orlando yesterday, and I'm up to 12 teams that I take seriously in the conference. If you're a believer that the Washington Wizards can actually turn things around, I don't mean to win the conference, but just teams that will be a factor, will be a tough out.
Competitor, trying to NBA. Win.
Charlotte's definitely one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about the Eastern Conference odds in just a second. First, before that, though, do you want to win? Want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport, every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Brandon, we got about a minute left here. Eastern Conference odds, obviously the Heat took a big swing, and I'd love to get your take on Giannis in a little bit. I think we might shortly here and player to pass it, but your Eastern Conference odds on leaders to win the conference are the Celtics at plus 225, the Knicks at plus at 3-1, the Heat 6-1, Pistons 10-1. You have to go to Charlotte's down to 30-1 still as like the 11th highest favorite. Is there one that jumps out to you there?
Yeah, I don't think you can touch Miami right now. It's just too much hype priced into the number. Yep. So there's no rush to do that. If you got ahead of it, good for you. But I wouldn't bet it now. The Indiana Pacers are interesting to me because they get a big bounce back with Tyrese Halliburton. So Pacers 12-1 to me looks like the best value bet right now on the board.
Yep. We're going to talk a little bit more about those Miami Heat coming up next. We're playing a game called Play It or Pass It, but it's Brandon style. We'll do a little NBA and a little MLB coming up next here on Prop Ones.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that feels almost too good to be true. First, we got to give credit where credit is due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and our top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're probably getting involved with a few props and alt markets too. But there's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our VSiN Pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month for just $9.99, or better yet, save big with promo code POD26, that's POD26, on an annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right, now back to the show.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Brandon Kravitz here. We're with rotowire.com. Welcome those of you listening on SiriusXM channel 158, those streaming with us live on YouTube, or of course, catching us later on the podcast. It's time for one of our favorite segments we do on the show. It's called Play It or Pass It.
Smart play or stay away. This is Play It or Pass It.
The NBA, it never rests. It's always interesting. And it started with a flurry this week with Giannis getting traded to the Miami Heat. So we're going to do with a Giannis prop to start. Michael Cohen obviously is going out and finding all the greatest props out there. And boy, the sportsbooks can't wait to get Miami Heat and Giannis props out there. So let's do this here. Giannis to score 50-plus points in any game in the 26-27 regular season, plus 105. Odds are over at DraftKings.com.
Yeah, what an odd sweat this is. I'm going to pass it on this. I'm not sure that I need this in my life. Also, we're getting a plus 105 on that. He's done this 10 times throughout the course of his career, but most of those were between 2019-2023 range when he was gobbling up MVPs. Sure, he could do it. It is well within the range of outcomes for Giannis, but I would just never bet this. And I think you'd be better off hunting good matchups and testing it out a couple of games throughout the year at a significantly more generous payout. If you were to pluck a game where he takes on the Sacramento Kings or something, and he had a bad night the night before, you want to attack the 50 plus market, you're going to get a significant payout. Now, of course, you got to strike with much more precision on that than just 50 plus in any game. Can I take either one of them to score 80 between him and Bam Adebayo? That's another one that I'd be interested in looking at. But no, Jeff, I'm going to pass this for Giannis 50 plus.
All right. Fair enough. The reaction I've seen about this trade has almost been universal that the Heat, they're a little confused about why the Heat did it, because they're not good enough. You know, that yes, they this puts them into trying to win, but they need to build around this, build around them better, and they may not have the tools able to do so. So to that end, the total on their regular season wins, you talked about their Eastern Conference odds. Let's talk about wins instead. It's set at 50.5 at minus 105. Play it or pass it.
I hate to be the Heat hater here, but I'm going to pass this as well. I guess I'm part of the consensus that looks at the Miami Heat and says, what exactly is this team? They are clearly better with Giannis than they were prior to the trade. So it's not like this wasn't a good idea for them. They're just not a complete product yet. So I'm going to fade everything involving Heat hype right now. Let it settle. See what they do with the rest of the roster. Are they able to get some shooting on board, a lead guard that I can feel good about? 50.5 doesn't seem like a lot, but that basically means that you would have them finishing top three or top four in the Eastern Conference. And when you look at the East, I mentioned this in the last segment, it is not the layup that you think it is. I think we're going to see a pretty evened out win totals across the conference. There's 12 teams that will be vying for playoff contention, and there's only 8 spots, 10 if you include the play-in tournament. So it's going to be tough. And until they improve this roster, this is not something I'm willing to buy right now.
All right, fair enough. Let's get away from the Heat for a second here. You know, get into the humidity instead. Okay, sorry, terrible. Let's move on. Cam Boozer to win Rookie of the Year, plus 240. This is at FanDuel. Our buddy Nick Whalen sniffed this one out the other day. He loved it already. Do you love it? Do you like it? Play it or pass it?
I'm going to pass. I am very confident in his ability to have a long and prosperous career in the NBA, but I don't think his rookie season is going to be all that sensational. This Memphis team is a complete and total mystery. I just have no idea what to expect from them, who plays what role, how much does he have the ball in his hands, what happens with Ja Morant. There's just too much unknown here. I'd be more inclined to look the way of a Darren Peterson, who comes in as a microwave scorer with pieces around him on a team that might surprise people and push into the postseason. So hate to fade the guy I'm filling in for, Jeff, but that's the direction that I'm going to look. Are you good with it?
Passing is not hating. It's okay.
I appreciate that. So let's talk about the VSiN NFL betting guide out now, whether you're betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, rookie of the year, Super Bowl odds. Our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camp begins. Inside, you're going to find full breakdowns, 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from VSiN experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and more. You can get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value that you get with full access to everything that we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video from the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Let's switch over to Major League Baseball, looking at a pitching prop to get us started. A's arm Jeffrey Springs, over 15.5 outs recorded. Play it or pass it.
So Jeffrey Springs is not good. Let's make that clear, first of all, that this is not someone that we're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to start Jeffrey Springs in my fantasy league. 5.55 ERA. It's been a tough road to hoe. The A's have been at home, two different versions of a home the last 2 weeks, though, for his starts, and he's awful at home. 6.43 ERA, 1.47 whip, 4.9 innings per start. Not getting those outs recorded. But keep in mind, Two of those starts were on the surface of the moon, aka Las Vegas, where it's just an utter total launching pad descended into far. So a lot of that, some of that isn't his fault. On the road, which is where he's at today in San Francisco, 4.28 ERA, 1.19 WHIP, 5.6 innings per start. This, you know, Oracle Park, great pitcher's park, great place to pitch. Howsomever, the Giants are a sneaky offensive team. I quizzed my radio co-host today, James Anderson, on this one. Over the last 30 days, the San Francisco Giants have the best WRC plus in baseball at plus 129. That's astounding. It's not the second highest team is at 123. They're slugging 490 as a team over the last 30 days. They're really good offense. So this is sneaky. It's close. I'm going to say it's a play it in part because I think they want to avoid taxing their bullpen a little bit there, but it's a little dangerous. It's a play, but it's a small play.
The VSiN Park Factors board right now has the A's and the Giants as the third least advantageous to hitters out there. If you go and look at the VSiN.com Park Factors, never a bad day to look the way of one of the most sensational bats in baseball. Bryce Harper of the Phillies goes up against the hard charging Nationals. Bryce Harper over half an RBI plus 142. Are we playing it or passing it?
So this one's, I'm going to play it. It's close again, though. Bryce Harper does not have an RBI in this series against the Nationals, where there's been a ton of runs scored. Last two games, at least. First game went under because every game in the universe went under on Monday. It was a crazy day for baseball as far as that goes. But yeah, Tuesday there was the wild, crazy comeback where Harper went 1-for-5 and a run scored, no RBI. No Kyle Schwarber the last game and a half, last two games, although Schwarber did pinch hit yesterday and drew a walk. If Schwarber's back in the lineup, it's a huge difference for Harper. It adds a much better OBP guy in front of him. Harper's got 44 RBI in the season. He was on fire going into this series up against Cade Cavalli. 4.07 ERA, he's nominally their ace. Howsomever, I'm using that word for the second time in one segment, so we got to come up with new words, but 1.46 WHIP, puts a lot of runners on base, a lot of walks. Last two outings, he's gone 7 2/3 innings and allowed 5 earned runs, so hasn't been great lately. There's also often some blow-up outings there for Cavalli. We're going to play this one for Harper. I like the plus price at plus 142.
I'm going to play it on Jeff coming up with new words. That's going to be the one that I play on that. It might not be Friday just yet, Jeff, but we're talking dingers, Cubs in Queens to take on the Mets. Michael Busch, at least one home run, plus 423. Play it or pass it.
I love that you're already teasing Dinger Friday. Schedule note, it's going to be Brandon and I for Dinger Friday tomorrow as well. Looking forward to that. Michael Busch, 9 home runs on the season, including one in yesterday's doubleheader. He's up against Freddy Peralta, who's allowed 12 homers. That's about middle of the pack in terms of like a rate for him. But two last start and a terrific 10-run outing against the Phillies last time out. However, 6 homers at home, 6 on the road, but far more innings on the road. In other words, his home run rate is much higher on the road. Wind is blowing right to left instead of out or left to right. Michael Busch being a left-handed hitter, we look for that. It's not necessarily a helping wind for him. I'm going to pass it with some regret. I do like that price at 423, but I am going to pass it. I just don't feel it's a super great chances of him actually hitting that home run. We're going to shift the conversation over to the World Cup. Massive, huge game again for Team USA just to keep the momentum going. They've already qualified. They've already won their group. Eric Winalda joins us next to preview that game and other World Cup games coming up. This is Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Brandon Kravitz here. Thrilled to have our guest on the Progressive Guest Line joining us right now. He is Eric Winalda of U.S. Men's National Team Soccer fame, host of Winalda Talks Football on SiriusXM FC. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric Winalda. Eric, you're one of my soccer heroes. Thank you so much for joining us. You had that iconic free kick in the Silver Dome, a stadium that doesn't even exist anymore. It's, you know, the playing surface has improved quite a bit since 94. Welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us today.
No, it's cool. Thanks for bringing that up. We've got that on a reel at the house right now. The,
yes.
The goal is just being shown over and over again. No, I'm kidding. But it's been a great World Cup so far, and I'm sure you want to talk about the U.S. team. There's a lot going on and a lot to talk about.
Indeed. Indeed.
The biggest question facing Team USA sorry, Jeff. I'm sure that you want to ask about the aggressiveness. How will they play this match out? What do we expect as far as the way that we can bet into this and the approach that we see?
Well, I'm going to go on the record. I'm one of the guys that has believed in this team from the start. I love what our coach is doing. Mauricio Pochettino has built a new culture, a new way of thinking. We knew we had something different when he was at the press conference and they asked him, what did you say to so-and-so? Because that didn't get called in. He said, why would I call somebody that's not a part of the program? That right there was a mentality switch for this group. But it is a group. I mean, everybody keeps asking me, what's so different about this team? We have so much better players. We don't really have better players. We just have more of them. And now we're about 18, 19 players deep. That can make a difference. It's going to prove dividends today because we have a bunch of guys on yellow cards. Mauricio's got to manage that. We're all talking about Christian Pulisic. He does not need to play. This is a need versus want situation. And a lot of people have chimed in to say, well, he needs to play. He needs to play. I don't think he needs to play as much as some of the other guys that need to touch grass in a World Cup. So Tim Ream could use a little break. I think Chris Richards could use a break. Balogun should not play on his yellow card. Sergiño Dest should probably sit this one out, let Timothy Weah get a feel of the tournament. So we'll see a different team in this competition or in this game against Turkey, who has not scored. They've registered more shots than everybody, but they have not scored a goal yet. So everybody thinks they're not going to score. I think under the circumstances, that's what makes this a fun bet.
Absolutely. And I'd be fine if McKinney and Adams didn't play as well. Like, not take those clips in the middle. I mean, Adams was getting beat up in that Australia game pretty bad, especially in the first half there. They're phenomenal. I love them, but I can go without seeing them for one game.
Yeah, I mean, Adams probably won't play either. I mean, we've already seen Berhalter first sub. He's got into both games very early in that first one because he came in for Pulisic when he sustained the injury. But I mean, you're right. I think we'll see a different crew today. It's not Australia, so we probably won't see two forwards, but we might see both of the Ricardo Pepi and Haji Wright at some point. I think both of them will get in the game. And we get some Gio Reyna again today. So I think we'll see. And it's a wonderful opportunity to be in, guys. I mean, we won our first two games in the competition. First time ever doing that. And now we've won the group no matter what. So the truth is, rest guys, keep the momentum. And the best thing that can happen is Ricardo Pepi or Haji Wright or Gio Reyna has a big game or Timothy Weah does something to just push the group. Everybody keeps saying we're A team, B team. Don't do that. This is a bunch of guys that are in their own internal competition to see who gets time. But I don't care who scores as long as we go into that Bosnia-Herzegovina game rested and ready with a lot of confidence. And I don't care if there's four guys that feel like they deserve to start. That's a good thing. So this is an interesting tournament. The goalkeeping situation looks okay. We might get some guys resting on that back line. I thought that was the logic behind Joe Scali and Austin Trussie getting in the game against Australia the other day. So I don't know what the lineup is yet, and I would encourage everybody to wait until you see the lineup. But the overriding theme is going to be a scoring draw, most likely. Both teams will score. And this thing will go over. I think we're going to see goals today.
And is that something that when you start to see these teams across the World Cup, not just Team USA, but we're going to see teams that have already locked up their position in the knockout round, and they're just sort of, it's more of a feeling out, get other guys involved. Is that where you expect to see more scoring from a general sense, or is that a Team USA, this match specific sort of concept that when teams don't have as much to play for, that you have some talent that's not on the pitch and that you would think would hurt scoring, but it sounds like you want to go the other way with it.
Now, in World Cup scenarios, we saw that yesterday with Switzerland, Canada. Canada waited too long. They're usually a fiery group and they go after, you know, did take advantage of their opportunities to get goals, and they played very tentatively. I think overall, when you get to this state of the competition, I mean, you got Norway's playing against France, right? It's the last game. Everybody knows. But trying to take the reins off of those guys, impossible. They're going to go for it. And so I don't see guys like Mbappe sitting that out. I don't see Erling Haaland sitting that out. I think that those guys, that's an all-out war. That's going to be a really fun game to watch. I still think, and I've said this before the tournament started, that Norway beats them. And I don't think Norway lasts as long in the competition, but Norway will be the throw the first and the last punch against the likes of France. But as far as the U.S. is concerned, this is our inability to, you know, to convince people that we score goals. We've already, you know, hit the net a bunch. And I think that is the overriding theme. Again, this comes back to our coach, Mauricio Pochettino. He is ruthless, and I love it. I love it. He is not a guy that's going to bubble wrap anything. He doesn't ever in these kind of scenarios tell his guys to not fight. He can take the fight away from them and say, sorry, you've got a yellow card, save it for another day. But can you imagine being the guys that are already seeing the World Cup start the way it is and through the circumstances realize that, wow, I'm going to get the opportunity to play in a World Cup today. Because of the circumstances, this is my chance to shine. So, and again, we have guys that can prove it. So I'm looking forward to seeing the lineup. And I think the U.S. is going to be on the front foot. I don't think we're going to hold back. And I think that's the reason why we're going to get scored on, is because it doesn't matter and we're able to stretch the game. But this is going to be a really fun game to watch. But I think my son's back in California today. I'm up in Napa, enjoying a really nice trip, but my son paid $3,800 for the ticket today. That's wow. When I played in 3 World Cups, and that's the best I could do. I think this is a must see game. It's a big ticket, and there's gonna be a lot of excitement. The last thing we need to do right now is say, oh, we lost to Turkey. Yeah, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were. No, that can't be the case. And I think Pochettino knows that. There's the kid right now. Sorry, I'll turn my phone off.
No problem. So refreshing to have the dialogue be so different than the last 3 World Cups, especially around the manager. You know, it's such a positive vibe there. I mean, you were, you know, like you said, you were optimistic going in. You maybe even think there's a chance that the U.S. could get to the semis.
Well, I mean, the nature of the tournament, right? All the permutations that we're looking at, the 48 teams makes that round of 32 and round of 16 a lot different. I mean, when I was playing in a World Cup, we made it out of group play, and we got Brazil right out of the gates. That's not a fun trip. And we lost the game 1-0 to the eventual champion. There's no disgrace in that, but I would love to have the opportunity to be 2 or 3 more games in before you run into the likes of Brazil. They might be a little bit beat up. Circumstances might have changed, and our team might have some sort of advantage. So I think if we can get through these next couple of games healthy, I think I don't want to get way ahead of myself, but Bosnia-Herzegovina does not scare us. I think that's a team that we'll beat. We'll find ourselves in the round of 16, and then all bets are off. Who knows where this might go? We might get Austria or Switzerland or something. Those are teams we can beat. So under the circumstances, if we can get to that final group, that final four, take a team to a shootout, we might end up in a final. I know that sounds crazy, guys, but that's the way this World Cup is playing out.
Eric, we got about
Eric,
a minute
before
left.
We wrap,
your
about
opinion
another
on
match.
The Golden Boot. You have an opinion on that.
Okay, so, yeah, I do. You know, Erling Haaland is playing against, you know, France, so that makes it tough. I think he's like plus 800 right now. Balogun was got plus 10,000. It's ridiculous. Like, there's no way you can think that he's going to be a part of that, because he's going to be sitting down watching this one today. So I understand that. Harry Kane is not up there. Messi's going to drop off. So it really comes all the way back to Mbappe. Mbappe really looks like the guy that's well poised to win that. I think he was it plus 200 right now. Might be a safe bet. And to be honest, okay, if anybody else is thinking about the final already, all avenues are looking like it's going to be Spain and France in the final. I know that's boring, but that's what everybody's thinking. Unless the U.S. can do something special, which is, of course, what I'm rooting for.
All right, very good. Eric, hey, enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy this run. Enjoy Napa. Thank you so much for spending some of your time with us today.
You got it. 2-2 is your final score. Haji Wright, anytime goal score.
Beautiful. That's Eric Winalda, everybody. Baseball picks coming up next. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Brandon Kravitz. Let's get you caught up on the events going on in baseball and in golf right now. Starting off on the PGA Tour, the Travelers Championship, Eric Cole is your leader. He is in the clubhouse. He is 7-under. Brilliant round again, a round of 63. This is an easier scoring golf course there, so sometimes you find some good low scores here. It's a nice welcome respite after the grind of a U.S. Open. Sitting at 6-under, Nico Echevarria, Ben Griffin. We saw Len Hochberg talking about Nico Echevarria as a good build for your DraftKings lineup at 6,100. So nice round for him. Patrick Cantlay, Brant Snedeker, and Aaron Rye all are at 5-under along with Matt Fitzpatrick. So for more on that, stay tuned. We'll be checking that across the day there. In baseball, Tampa Bay Rays up to a 7-0 lead now on the Kansas City Royals. Early homer for Junior Caminero in that one. Also homering was Victor Mesa Jr., a big three-run homer in that one there. Rays sitting at 44-33. They are the number one wild card in baseball right now. So, you know, in a weaker league, they're kind of standing apart there. One other live game, Pittsburgh Pirates have a 3-0 lead on the Seattle Mariners. Brandon Lau with an early homer in this game. Again, it's Bryce Miller on the mound against Bubba Chandler. We got the good Bubba Chandler version here today. Also, Henry Davis with a 2-run homer in that game as well. I want to get you caught up a little bit on some of our baseball bets. But before we do that, $30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in football season in Las Vegas this year with 3 Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. First, Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, I always have an entry in this one, maybe two. Pick one winner each week, last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo, I aspire to be in that someday. For the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for details.
So we have 9 games, a light slate in Major League Baseball. 2 games, as Jeff mentioned, going on as we speak, the Rays and the Pirates with leads in their respective games. Let's take a look a couple hours down the road. The A's at the San Francisco Giants. We've got Jeffrey Springs against Landon Roop, who, I mean, Springs is a guy I just want more from. I like some of his stuff. Last night excluded, you mentioned this earlier, the Giants have really been turning things around offensively. So is that the direction that you're going to be looking in terms of backing a Giants offense to get back on track from where they were last night?
Yeah, it is. As a matter of fact, it is. And, you know, a couple of things I'm looking at in this one here. First of all, congratulations to Bryce Eldridge for getting his 10th. He's starting at first base again today. It'll be his 10th game at first base. Means in our fantasy leagues, we can use him there instead of at utility where we've been stuck using him most of the time. Good news as far as that goes. The other thing I'm looking at here, so that's one of the things I'm looking at there. Just as a whole, the Giants have just been such a good lineup lately. Over the last 30 days, leading baseball in WRC+. Yes, that ballpark suppresses them a little bit there, but against Jeffrey Springs, I like that. Matt Chapman, over the last 21 days, has a 983 OPS. He's batting leadoff against a left-handed pitcher in Springs, has a 379 OBP against lefties. This is a good setup for him. I'm going to take the over on Matt Chapman runs scored, plus 123 over at Bet Rivers. And I'm also going to take the Giants over 4.5 on the team total. That's plus 114 at DK. I always look for a little bit more offense at Oracle anyhow in day games instead of night games. A little bit warmer weather. The weather patterns change. San Francisco, you know, you have to pay attention to that sort of thing. Ball carries better during the day. So I like the offensive options here for the Giants.
home runs suppressed by 20%, according to the Park Factors board over on VSiN. I actually took the under at 8.5 earlier today. Market movement in my favor is the total is down to 8 right now. So if you can get that close to even money, I don't mind that as well. Let's move to the Astros and the Tigers. Emi against Melton. I haven't met a lot of Emi over games that I haven't been intrigued by. What can you tell me about Troy Melton? Yep. What kind of performance can we expect in this one, in this pitching matchup?
Yeah, this is kind of a fascinating game. Big, big series for the Tigers, because not only are they trying to get back into the wild card race, they're only 5.5 games out in the wild card, despite being 12 games under 500. It's been a terrible, no good, lousy, awful season, but for the grace of God, they're in the American League this year, and they're American League Central, where there's not a single team with a positive run differential. They're not out of it yet. If they're in the National League, they'd be like the Mets. They'd be dead and buried. But because they're in the AL, and they're in the AL Central in particular, that's another one that we're going to be paying attention to. So I like Troy Melton. He's a good pitcher, 2.56 ERA. I was on him in some fantasy leagues, wanted to get him in some leagues this year. 0.95 whip. But he has allowed 6 homers and 31-plus innings. So see if we can exploit that a little ways. The RotoWire Smart Money tool picked out Cam Smith as a home run prop. He's not having a good year. His OPS is in the 600s. Did homer in the Toronto series this week, though. Has 8 homers on the season. Has that latent power. Maybe this is a chance where he can exploit that a little bit there. And we're getting a really good payout here. The Cam Smith home run prop is at plus 700 over at Bet Rivers. We'll do a little sprinkle on Cam Smith.
Let's move to the Phillies and the Nationals, an NL East battle. Chris Sanchez, Cade Cavalli taken to the bump. Weather and park conditions favor scoring. Pitching would lean us in a different direction. So do you trust that the bats for the Phillies have come around? Are you buying the Washington Nationals and them being one of the great surprise teams in Major League Baseball this year? Current form, season long, and a bet for today. Throwing a lot at you. What do we got?
So, first of all, the Nats lead baseball in runs scored, although the Dodgers are catching back up on that. That's improbable, looking at them this season. Unfortunately, they have the second highest runs allowed in baseball, too. So this pitching staff, we can count a lot of overs. Overs in national games have been just a staple of our experience here. C.J. Abrams is back in the lineup. Yeah, he came back yesterday. He had that side issue. We're going to be watching on the other side. Kyle Schwarber was able to pinch hit yesterday, drew a walk. He's got that back issue, something to watch for with him a little bit there. Two things that we're paying a really close eye on there. It's Christopher Sanchez day. It might not be obviously there's no doubt about starting him. I won't be betting my Sanchez props because of this, Washington Nationals lineup. Might be intriguing to go that route. Instead, I'm going to go a little different way here. I'm going to just have some fun with Brandon Marsh. Let's talk about Brandon Marsh. He's having an incredible season. 321 batting average, 11 homers, 38 RBI, 44 runs, 7 stolen bases. He's just been a great story all season long. He's riding a high BABIP, but check out his career numbers. His batting average in balls in play has always, always been high. It's at 401, which is just ridiculous. But what's he going to regress to? His career average is 369. He's a guy that puts the ball in play a lot. He doesn't walk much, and good things happen when he puts the ball in play. He hits the ball relatively hard. He runs pretty fast, and those two things have combined to give him a pretty decent batting average upside. Against Cade Cavalli, who struggled a little bit lately, I'm going to play the hits plus runs plus RBI prop on Brandon Marsh at plus 135 over at DraftKings. Brandon, ask me about Cubs-Mets next.
Yeah, I was going to jump to that. Pitching a major issue for Chicago, evident in the fact that they just made a trade with the team that they're facing tonight for David Peterson. The Cubs put up a 10 spot, not once, but twice on the Mets yesterday in a doubleheader. What do we like today as the Cubs look to complete the series sweep?
So a couple of notes here. Freddie Peralta gave up 10 runs in his last start. They committed 6 errors yesterday. Pick your favorite stat, your favorite factoid about the Mets to bury them this season. It's been a miserable ride. They traded away David Peterson because the Cubs have 5 injured starters on the IL right now. 4 of their original starters, plus 1 bonus one as well. So they had to dig deep just to get a 4th starter. You're getting Matthew Boyd off the IL today too. We'll see if the Mets have Juan Soto back. There's a chance he goes on the IL after missing the last three games. But I'm going to ride the red hot Pete Crow Armstrong one here. This is the one I'm looking at here is his total bases prop over 1.5. He's been red hot lately. We're getting plus money over at BetMGM, plus 105 over at BetMGM. That too is going to be my best bet of the day. I really like that one there. And I also like a little bit of, I think that's the one we'll just ride is the PCA over 1.5 total bases over at BetMGM plus 105. Brandon, you have a best bet of the day and it's baseball. What is it?
I got the Yankees and the Red Sox over 7.5 runs scored. Look no further than the weather. 80 degrees, no rain in sight, hitter friendly ballpark. Yes, we've got Cam Schlittler on the mound, but that's just helping to suppress the total here. I expect a lot of runs between the Yanks and the Sox tonight.
That's going to wrap us up for Prop Points. Next up, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatovi and Jonathan Van Tobel. They've got Chris Jimenez on there for his bets for MLB. Coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.